Thank you so much, Tanya. That was beautiful. You know, aren't you glad that when you get bad news or you wake up in the middle of the night, you've got Jesus? How many times just the awareness of His presence makes all the difference in the world? But then think about the multitude of people that get bad news or wake up in the middle of the night and don't have Jesus to cling to. Pray for them. Witness to them. Share Jesus with them, that they might have the joy that you have. Thank you so much for coming again tonight. Many of you have been here every night. One or two of you just only missed one. But we're so glad that you're here. I was thinking today, you know, when I'm with Brother Patrick, I think we're the same age, and then I realize my kids are older than he is. I can remember when I was the youngest preacher in the association. Now I'm about the oldest. But anyway, it's been a blessing. As I've said earlier, Brother Patrick and I have known each other 20-some years, and we've been friends a long, long time, and so we're so glad to have you come and share with us again. And be sure and introduce your shotgun rider tonight so that everybody will come by and speak to him as we leave.
Well, good evening. It's good to see you tonight. Thank you for being in God's house. And it has been a great week. God has indeed been good to us. I don't know about you, but I have felt the power of His Holy Spirit in this place. Before I get started with the message tonight that God has put on my heart, I want to take a moment to speak to you about a couple of things, but I want to begin by introducing, this is my oldest son, Luke. Luke is a ninth grader, and he runs and plays basketball, and he loves Duke. And some of you folks, I know, are major Carolina fans. And so I told him on the way, I said, don't you say one word about it. And I come out of the prayer time, and somebody says, he's already been persecuting me about the game earlier in the week. And so, but this is my son, Luke, and I'm glad to have him with me tonight. I want to say to both of you, I am so grateful for the songs that God put on your heart. You have blessed me, and it is a joy to be able to open the Word of God after people of God that are called to a music ministry sing about Jesus. And that doesn't happen in every church. I preach a lot of revivals where people sing about themselves, but here you sing about Jesus. And I appreciate the way you have led in worship. And I appreciate our instrumentalist for being here every night, being so faithful to play for us. What a joy to hear the piano and the organ. And thank you, brother, for leading us in worship. And it's just such a joy to see how God has blessed your church with the musical talent and ability that He has given to you. And your choir is wonderful. And I thank God for the way that you all blessed us on Monday night. And so I just wanted to take a moment and thank you for the way that you have blessed us musically and all that you have done. I want you to know you are a sweet people. I appreciate you. I've been on two trips with your men, and I have experienced how God has worked in their lives, and I've seen firsthand the caliber of grace that you have in your church. And I believe great days are ahead, and I hope that together you will walk forward in God's grace with His mercy, thinking about what He can do. And you have the most wonderful pastor, interim pastor, that any church could ever have. Ed and Pam Louder are the finest of the finest, and I know you are blessed to have them in your midst. So thank you for the invitation to come. Thank you for allowing me into this place. And I will never, ever forget about the way that you have blessed me this week. And if you would take your Bible And turn with me tonight. And as we turn together, I'd like us to look at the Gospel of John, chapter 7. The Gospel of John, chapter 7. And in John, chapter 7 tonight, I would like us to look at a passage of Scripture that I believe God wants me to leave with you as we close out this series of meetings. The Word of God says this in John chapter 7, beginning in verse 37. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." And then going on to John chapter 8 and verse number 12, the Bible says, "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Friends, as you and I gather as a people of God tonight, I want us to focus on how God can help us be His light. God has put this church on this hill to be a light for Him. God has put you in this community to be a light for Him. God has put you in the exact location in which you work and in the place in which you young people go to school to be a light for Him. But we cannot be light in the midst of darkness if we do not allow the Holy Spirit of God to take over. And so as Jesus preached in John chapter 7 to the people on the last day, speaking about what they can do and what can come, I want you to notice tonight, first of all, that we must be a people that seek to thirst for the way of God. And as we thirst for the way of God, we must listen to the words of the Lord. "If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink." We must understand that when we are thirsty, we need to spiritually hydrate the soul that God has given us. Are you feeding your soul? Are you having a daily quiet time? Are you in communion with God? Is the Holy Spirit of God pouring spiritual water through the spiritual vessel in which God operates within you? Oh, friend, we need to be hungry for God. We need to be thirsty for God. But as we are hungry and thirsty for God, we must come to Him and drink. But so often we drink from our will. So often we eat from our product. So often we live by way of our own supplement, and God wants us instead to rely on Him. You see, last night when I got home, I think I felt as bad as I've ever felt in all of my life. But I got some of my daughter's Tamiflu that she had left over from a week or so ago, and I took that Tamiflu and I slept like a baby. And I got up this morning, and I took another one, and I'm a new man. I'm not 100% yet, but I'm going to tell you, when I took those two pills, God did something. Something changed inside of this physical vessel. Just imagine if you and I, when we are thirsty, like when I was sick, if we will come to Him and drink like I took that medicine, what He will do by way of healing and deliverance within our spiritual soul. You see, we need to spiritually hydrate our souls for the glory of God. But not only that, we need to have the help that He can bring. And that help comes when you and I are thirsty for His way. You see, Jesus said, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. But second tonight, I want you to notice something else. Not only are we to thirst for His way, but we must, second of all, come to His fountain. We must come to His fountain. You see, the Bible says, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. If you want God through the power of the Spirit to flow through and in your life, you must receive the living water. And we receive the living water when we come to the fountain of God. You see, we need to come to the fountain of God for deliverance. We need to come to the fountain of God for discovery. We need to come to the fountain of God that He will move within us. Our family will not change. Your marriage will not change. Your school will not change. Your government will not change until you first are willing to change. So rather than spending our time trying to change everybody else and change the situations within our life, why not take that time and invest it within our own soul? Because you know what I found out? When I change, it becomes contagious. Have you ever seen that? Have you ever seen that? When we change, God moves the mountains in the lives of those around us. But when we badger them, when we preach to them, when we get on their nerves, staying on their backs all the time, all we do is run them away. I have a sweet lady in my church. I told this story at one of the men's retreats that I was with your men. You've heard it before, men. That prayed and prayed and prayed for her husband's salvation. Prayed for years and years and years. But she never said a word. Every Sunday morning, she got up for over 30 years and ironed his pants and ironed him a dress shirt, and she hung it over the ironing board in her laundry room. Never said a word. But one day she was sitting in the choir, 5 minutes after 11, when the service started back then, and the door opened. And as the choir was singing their first song, here comes her husband. He sat in the back corner. And when the invitation was given, he came and prayed to receive Christ. You see, if she had gotten up every Sunday morning and badgered him and beat him down with her words of spirituality, he may have never come to Jesus. But because she modeled it, because she quietly lived it, because she demonstrated her faith every Sunday morning by simply ironing his clothes, that one day he would put them on and come to church, God blessed that act of faith. You see, you and I need to come to the fountain like she did. And when we come, God blesses. But we have to invest in ourselves. And when we invest in ourselves, when we come to God's fountain and let Him begin to do a new work in our lives, do you know we will see our children change? You will see your grandchildren change. You will see your spouse change. You will see everyone changed. My daughter told me, she said, "Daddy, I never understood how important prayer was until I saw you praying with Papa in his most desperate days. I never dreamed that when I would get beside his bedside as a 66-year-old man fighting for his life and cry out to God on his behalf, that she understood anything I said. But she was watching. And now she is a prayer warrior." Friends, you don't know the impact you can make in this community. You do not realize what simple acts of kindness can do. But we must thirst for His way, and we must come to His fountain. But after we thirst for it, after we come to it, then we must believe in the abundance of His living water. The Bible says, "He who believes," in verse 38, "he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." We must believe God can change us. We must believe God can work in our church. We must believe God can move mountains. We must believe God can answer our prayers. And why must we believe that? Because in John 8 and verse 12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." I don't know about your house, but at my house, we like light. In fact, we like it so much we leave our Christmas candles in our windows year round. We have lamps, and it drives me crazy when they come in and turn those big overhead lights on, because I like lamps. There's something about it when you come home after a long day of work and you turn on a lamp, or for me, when I pull in the driveway and I see those candles in those windows, it just feels like home. It makes you want to be there. It is inviting. That is what Jesus is. That is what Jesus wants to be to you. That is what Jesus does. He is the light of the world. And when we have His light, He removes the darkness. And He says, "Come home. Let this be a place that no matter what anybody in this community has ever done, they know they can come home to Barbie's Grove. Let this be a place when you are sick, you know you can come home to this altar and pray. Let this be a place that when you need fellowship, you know you can come home to these dear people that are your family." Friends, if we are going to be light for Jesus, it begins when we let the Holy Spirit enter in. When the Holy Spirit creates a thirst inside of us. When that thirst leads us to come to His fountain. And when we get to the fountain, and when He fills us with His living water, we begin to believe. And when we believe God can, nothing can stop what God will do. I want to read a quote to you that I read earlier today. The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy. That was written by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. But the people that quote him today, the people in town council meetings that work to get names of roads named for him, are the very ones that fought him. People don't know this, but his own church in Atlanta, Georgia, the Baptist church he was a part of, kicked him out for his message. And I had the privilege of pastoring his sweet niece years later, who moved to Greensboro. And she made a comment about how things change when we are constant. And that's what he did. He was a light. He was a voice. When even those of his own color didn't want him in their church. Translate that to Jesus. Get thirsty. Come to his fountain. Believe he can bring change in your marriage and with your children and with your grandchildren and in your church and in your school. And when that happens, you will begin to think like Henry Ford taught us to think, as he quoted so many times, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. It's all about the psychology of what is in your mind. And I believe God has something great for this church. I believe it. I feel it. And I want to come back or have you call me 5 or 10 years from now and say, you will not believe what our God has done. All it takes is a few people that will say, I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty. And no matter what everybody else does, I'm going to go to the fountain. And I'm going to let God begin to work inside of me so I can be the light. Friends, will you be the one? When I was in high school, I want to share this in closing. Our church went through a terrible split. It's a small country church like this. Our family farm where my mother lives is right by the church. The parsonage that my grandparents built is right across the road from our house. Everybody was close-knit in the same community. And it split. And I remember my daddy, my mama saying at breakfast one Sunday morning, won't nobody be at church today because everybody's left. And Daddy said, well, I know 5 that will be there. And my cousin that lived with us, because his parents were deceased at that time, and my brother and I and my mom and dad, we went. And as my mother got up to lead singing, she began to cry and say, we need God to do something. We have nobody left to teach our young people. The nominating committee couldn't get anybody to teach us. And an 89-year-old lady by the name of Mavis Perdue stood up and said, I'll teach them. And she opened her Bible every Sunday morning, my junior and senior year of high school. And she taught us the Word of God. And out of that Sunday school class, four missionaries, two preachers, and three people in full-time gospel music. A man that is chairman of deacons at his church in Raleigh. A lady that teaches a 200-member Sunday school class at her church in Charlotte. From the nine of us, God put us around the world because one 89-year-old lady said, I will come to the fountain. That morning, when my broken-hearted mother said, we need God to move. Will you come to the fountain? Will you take your place of leadership? Will you say, if I stand alone like Dr. King did, I will do it because it's the right thing to do. Young person, will you stand in your school? If you work with pagans like my wife does for the state of North Carolina every single day, will you stand as light? She tells me all the time, you have no idea what I go through just by trying to say my prayer over my meal at lunch. We need people that will bring light to the world, and Jesus is the light. So tonight, as we close out this series of meetings, as we think about those that did stand and did sacrifice, that may be in that cemetery, that remains in that cemetery, that are in the presence of Jesus in heaven. Think about all that they sacrificed for us to be here tonight. And God doesn't want that candle to dim. God wants you to be that light. God wants you to be that beacon. Will you be the one? Would you come and do business with God tonight? Let's stand and sing together.